If you have a Bible today, turn to the book of John, Gospel of John, chapter 3. John, chapter 3. I mentioned earlier, love is a word we throw around a lot. Not all love has emotion to it. Sometimes we think that. Like, I love chocolate. Amen. But there's no real emotion to that. There's a happiness inside. I love... You don't like chocolate? Okay. I get it. Some people love money. I really, 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 really like money. But the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. It's just how you interpret that. Some people get a new car and they love their car, and some people kick the tires of their old car that's not running, you know. You've done that before. But when we say, I love God, what does that mean? You know, when you think about God's love for us, we love Him because He first loved us, so we know there was the cause, because. His love for us is an everlasting love. Sometimes we go up and down, you know. Well, like the Ephesians, they left their first love. And that can happen to people. But it's a wonderful thing to love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind. Demas, having loved this present world, is departed, and he left the work of God. So many things about love. But people have their own idea about the love of God. Does God love me? And I'm here to tell you today that He does love you. Doesn't matter what you think, who you are, your station in life, whether you're saved or whether you're lost, God loves you. God so loved the world. And we're going to look at that a little bit today. If you do love God, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So there's something that produces. Amen. But the more you love something, the more enjoyable it is. The more you want to be. We all love Brenda. Amen. So it's good for her to be in the service today with us. That helps us. It helps our emotions. And so there's all kinds of things connected with this, and I want to give a biblical perspective here, because I hope you love the Lord today, and if you don't, I hope you leave loving the Lord maybe a little bit more. May our love grow in Christ, and may we understand a little bit more about the love of God. Some people are on guilt trips. They can't get over their regrets of the past. They say, you know, oh God, how do you put up with a person like me? That's the very negative side. There's a positive side too. And we just want to see what God has to say. So look at your Bibles, and we'll start with a very familiar verse. This is verse 16. Just read a couple verses. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Isn't that amazing? I mean, even to understand how that could be, a triune God, and the Father giving the Son to die for our sins. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Father, bless your word today. May it be powerful. May it reach our hearts. May we just not hear it, but may we experience it today. We want to say that we love you. Everything in the service today is designed for that. Our fellowship, our scripture reading, the message, Lord's Supper, even our songs. We love you, Lord. May we experience that today. And may you be pleased with all that's said and done for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Boy, great verses in the Bible. And that is no small task, to love the world. You ever think about that? God so loved the world, He loves everybody in it. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. I remember the day of my salvation. I grew up in a religious home to some degree. At least they went to a church. But I never got anything. I never experienced anything because of it, even in my teenage years. It was my early 20s that I found the Lord. And boy, it was an emotional time for me. Doesn't have to be that emotional, but it was for me. and I experienced the truth of His love. You ever grow up in a guilt-ridden home or guilt church where everything is guilt and everything? You have to realize you're lost, but you have to realize there's a Savior. Amen? And that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And it's a wonderful thing to know that. But a no small task. Jesus died for the sins of the world and everyone in it. God loves even you. He loves even me. He even loves our neighbor. Amen? He loves the world. That's what it said. God so loved the world. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times. That's no little task, to love somebody at all times. Anybody ever irritate you? Don't look to the side of who you're sitting with. Don't do that. Look up or look something or shut your eyes. Amen? But it seems to you like, well, we lost that love and we're bickering and arguing and friends are separated. That's not what love is about. It's not just some experience, some social experience. Here's another one. John 15, beginning in verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. That's no small task. Give your life for your loved ones. There's a verse that says some would even die for their loved ones, but to die for an enemy, to die for just somebody that you know, probably wouldn't do that. But Jesus did. Proverbs 18:24, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can't judge His love by the love of the world. It's far exceeding that. It's something so deep, how deep the love of God, that He would give His only begotten Son, and then what that creates in us. Amen? Because to know God is to know that love. And when we have that love, it comes out. And that is a wonderful experience. Our spirit bears witness with His spirit that we are the children of God. We are the sons of God. So it's a spiritual application here. And we love people not because they can do things for us. We love people because God puts love in our heart for them. We'll see that as we go through the sermon today. The Bible talks about loving the Lord, loving your neighbor, loving your enemies. All of those principles are in the Bible. And that is no small task, amen, to love somebody that's unlovely. But God loved us when we were unlovely, amen. Such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're forgiven. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's absolutely amazing. You can't live a life without sin. Sin is going to sneak in somewhere. You're not sinless now. You're sin forgiven now. Amen. And we have an old nature and we have a new nature. And the old nature raises his head every once in a while with words, with actions, with thoughts. But thank God we're forgiven of those things. And God loved us while we were yet sinners. And He still loves us. Amen? When you got saved, you didn't quit being a sinner. Now, you might have cleaned up your life to some degree, and you might want to clean it up more. But that sin still pops up. God still loves you. Amen? And we'll see that as we go through the Scripture. It's just a wonderful, wonderful truth. In 1 John chapter 4, there's a couple of verses. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and gave Himself for us. He gave Christ to die for our sins. Not that we loved Him, but He loved us. And He gave His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And everybody knows that word, the propitiation, right? Anyway, I looked it up. And it means appeasement. It means the appeasement for our sins. It's the reward that works. It's something, a payment that is made. 1 John 2:2, He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Again, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, they deserve to die, and they deserve to go to hell. We all did. We all did. We all do. Except we're saved by the power of God, by faith in Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:10, again, I'll read this. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. The reason Christ came into the world was to die on a cross. That's the reason he came, to pay for the sins of mankind. We have 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We are accepted in the Beloved. Amen? And he takes our sin and he gives us his righteousness. That's why when the Father looks at us, he sees his Son. And we're washed in the blood, like the song says. We love him because he first loved us. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That is God's work. It's God who worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So that's something that took place. What was the change in your life when you got saved? Do you remember it? You say, well, there was no change. Then you need to get saved. Amen? Because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And I'm not talking about some wild change, although that happens from time to time. But something happened when you got saved. The Spirit of Christ came in. Amen? He dwells within us. If any man, Romans 8, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And the Bible wants to make that clear because there are people going through a form of godliness, trying to go to church, trying to read their Bible, knowing that it's right to be moral and upright and honest, but yet nothing spurs them on. There's nothing in the heart that does that. Maybe some accomplishment, maybe what other people think, but it's not the connection with God. And God wants a connection. He wants us to enjoy love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He wants all of those things to be experienced by us. There's a verse in the Bible that says, God is love. And another verse in Romans 5 that says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. How? By the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That's where it comes from. And if you're born of the Spirit, that you have new life in you. Amen? Without being born of the Spirit, how can you have the love of God? And now you can have a physical love or a temporal love for him, but not a spiritual love for him. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Boy, that's a good verse. You know, there's a lot of verses in the Bible that are given so you can see whether that love is in your heart. Another one from 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Powerful. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. So when we get saved, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Here it is. You love God. Something has changed. Then you begin to love others, and you're taught how to love others. God teaches us. We go to his word. He speaks to us, and he gives us examples of that, and so we go on with that truth. Now, all of these verses are a good foundation for the message today. I just wanted to... This is God speaking. Amen. This isn't just some pastor's idea of what people ought to do. This is what God is saying. Loving God, loving one another, loving your enemy. What about loving yourself? That's important too. Amen? Some people don't love themselves the way they ought to. Job said in the Bible, Job was a good man, and he was being bragged on. You know, the trouble he got into, all the trials and everything that he went through. But he said this toward the end of the book, I abhor myself. That's a strong statement. I abhor myself. He saw his sin. He saw himself for who he really was. And he said, I abhor myself. And he repented in dust and ashes. He repented because of that. And you know the story that God gave him twice as much at the end of his life as he did the beginning. God always loved Job. He loved him when he was self-righteous. He loved him when he couldn't even stand himself. He said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now mine eye seeth thee, therefore I repent. I've heard, here we are, here's the word going out. Every Sunday it goes out. It might go out on your radio or your TV or whatever you listen to. But what is the truth here? Well, yeah, I believe that. That's what it says. I've heard of thee, but now mine eye seeth thee. Last week we talked about seeing God for who he is. And one day in heaven, we'll see him exactly for who he is, but God wants us to see him and appreciate him now. The prodigal son, his father loved him. His father loved him when he left the home. His father loved him when he came back. And we know they had a big party for him, remember that? But he squandered all the riches of his father that he had given him in his inheritance. He squandered it. He had a terrible life. And he's coming back because he came to himself and he said, man, my dad loves me. Love has a real drawing effect. You know, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. And so he's going back home and he's saying, I'm just going to ask my father to make me one of the hired servants. I am not worthy for anything. I'm not worthy of these blessings. I'm not worthy of forgiveness. Just if he'll make me a hired servant because I need food. And the father put the best robe on it, shoes on his feet, ring on his finger. Amen. They killed the fatted calf. They had a party. And there was great joy because of that. That's because the father always loved him. Loved him when he was away. Loved him when he came back. You have Peter. Peter said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. What a thing to say. Depart from me? I would say, Lord, come, help me. Amen. But Peter knew who he was, and yet the Lord used him so many times. You have the publican who said, be merciful to me, a sinner. He knew he was a sinner. And so the Lord said, you can go home justified, but the Pharisee wouldn't, all because of a hard decision. And then there's the thief on the cross. You know, Jesus was crucified between two thieves, and we brought it out last week. One saw him as the Savior, and one saw him just to mock him. But originally, they were both mocking him. Originally, they were both unbelievers. Originally, they were both criminals. They had done something wrong in their life. But at the last minute, the one that was forgiven said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And it's such a wonderful picture because that's why Jesus came. He came to set the captive free. He came to save anybody who wants to be saved. And at the very last, maybe second minute for sure, he said, I forgive you today. You'll be with me in paradise. Wow, isn't that a blessing? I mean, that's the love of God, and that's why he came. In the midst of all this sin, God loved Job, he loved Peter, he loved the prodigal, he loved them all. Amen? And God loves you today. He loves you if you had an argument on the way to church. He still loves you. He loves you if this is the first service. Well, Brenda's here. But I can't use that illustration because she's glad to be here. Amen? But sometimes people miss, sometimes they do this, they do that, and they don't feel like they're worthy of forgiveness. All these receive forgiveness. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And God put this in the Bible so clearly that we would know there's nothing that shall separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Your own sin won't separate you from the love of God. Nothing will separate you from his love. Look with me at verse 31. In verse 31, we find the challenge of God's power. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? We go to verse 32. You have the challenge of God's love. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That's a powerful verse. Look at verse 33 and 34. That's the challenge of God's justification. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Verse 35 and through verse 37, the challenge of God's inseparable love. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And then verse 38 and 39. These are the promises. And you ought to read this from time to time. Excuse me. Because it's going to reaffirm that commitment that God has made to you. But look at the promise, the next two verses. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's pretty inclusive. Amen? I mean, that covers everything. All the bases are covered there. Nothing will separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Paul said there that he was persuaded. That's faith. I believe what God said. His yea, his amen are going to come to pass. Whatever God promised, that's going to take place. In Romans chapter 4, speaking of Abraham, and he being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. He was convinced of that. When you read your Bible, do you ever see a promise? You don't have to read very far, but you'll see promises from God. Claim those promises. Amen? I mean, whether they're strength, whether it's his kindness, whether it's something for your life, wisdom. God, he that lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. If you lack wisdom, ask God. God will give you wisdom. That's pretty easy. Amen? Amen? Okay, I mean, that's a promise of God. If you lack wisdom, ask. I will give. There's a lot of verses like that in the scripture, and it's good to read them. 2 Timothy 1, chapter 1, verse 12, Paul said, for which cause also I suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Does God love you? Yes, of course he does. You can prove it from the scripture. Do you feel that he loves you? Amen. If you don't feel that he loves you, you're denying the scriptures. God loves you at any stage in your life, in any condition, God loves you. He loves the sinner. He doesn't love the sin. And so he does whatever we'll see he can do in your life to help you to love him more. You that are Christians, you that have become his child. And by the way, he loves lost people too. He loved the world. But in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6, we are children of God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are in the family of God. Amen? And we're not going to ever be thrown out of that. We're saved. You cannot lose your salvation once you become a Christian. In Hebrews 12, 6, for whom the Lord loveth, you know this verse, don't you? He chasteneth. Well, how could he love me and chasten me? Well, he does. Scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? I am persuaded that when God chastens me, he does it for my good. When he corrects me, he does it for my good. Oh, there's little Johnny. Oh, he's running out to the street. Oh, there's a lot of traffic today. Well, he has to learn to make up his own mind, you know? I don't want to be one of those cruel parents. You would grab him as quick as you could, amen? You'd run after him. You might even spank him. Oh, take that word out of there, but you would correct him, amen? Why would you do that? Because you wouldn't want him to do it again. And you wanted to save him from a terrible thing that could happen to him. And so that's the illustration that God is giving. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke. That's a hard correction. Reproving is more mild, but a rebuke. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And repent. He's speaking to the church. Proverbs 3:12, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Boy, I love my son. He's such a good boy, but he's going to need correction. Amen. He's going to need guidance. He's going to be erring. He's going to be going the wrong way. And when we love our children, we correct, we chasten. Amen. We teach, we guide, all of those things. We don't let them all have their own way. Man, growing up, my brother and I, we used to fight over food that was in the house. Chocolate, cereal. We had our names on our cereal boxes. And I had mine on my box and he had his on his, and we weren't supposed to touch each other's. If we had a bottle of pop, as soon as we got it, we'd spit in it. That way our brother couldn't take it. He'd do it, I'd do it. This is my bottle, that's your bottle, amen? And just some of those crazy things. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, amen? We want to share the gospel. We want to share good things with each other. I think that's so important for us. But you want to be able to have correction. We didn't have a lot of correction in our upbringing. We really didn't. And it's just a miracle of God that I got saved. And I was 22 years old. Got saved, got called to preach. Miracle of God. Amen. And I can see how God has directed my path. I've not been perfect. Real close. Like this, you know. And I'm amazed every day that God gives me messages and uses me for His glory. Absolutely amazed. And it helps me to love Him more. Amen. He knows you. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your faults and failures and your sins. He knows it all. And He still loves you. Isn't that amazing? That's such a blessing. But He does correct us because He loves us. That's why He corrects us. Psalm 94:12. Blessed is the man whom Thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of Thy law. I am convinced that when I am chastened or corrected, that God loves me. I will never lose that. In Psalm 119, this is a blessing. Three times we're going to read something, different verses. Psalm 119, 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. I was going the wrong direction. But now have I kept Thy word. I was afflicted, I was going the wrong way, and now I'm going the right way. Doesn't that make sense? And the way of God is the best way, not our way. You have same word in Psalm 119:71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn Thy statutes. You learn those things when you're afflicted. Psalm 119:75. I know, O Lord, that Thy judgments are right, and that Thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me. When my afflictions come, what did Paul say? He prayed three times for God to do something, and God said, no, I'm not going to answer that prayer. My grace is sufficient for you. Once he got that promise, His grace is sufficient for me, I will glory in my infirmities, in my persecutions, in all of these different troubles. I will glory in that because God said He's going to give me grace for it. Amen? And when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Yeah, I don't want that. I don't want to be weak. I don't want to go through anything. I'd rather just have everything go my way. That might not be good for you. Amen? It might not be good for you to win the lottery. Just might not. You say, well, you ain't convincing me of that. But that might be the truth. I mean, God knows, doesn't He? We have a personal God. He's interested in you personally. It's not collective, although there are some things that are collective. But God is trying to work in your life so you recognize His love for you so that you can love Him and He'll guide your path. Amen? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So He does that. There's a voice behind me that said, this is the way, walk ye in it. The verses are endless like that. But God says He will lead you. But you know what? Sometimes we want our own way, don't we? We just want to do it our own way. And sometimes we love the world a little more than we love God. And then we depart from God and now, Katie bar the door, right? Here we go. And we run off to a far country. And maybe it's not the far country physically, but it can be the far country in your heart. You're so far away from the Father's love. But to know Him is to love Him. And He keeps working, keeps working. We're going to have the Lord's Supper. He gave Himself. He gave His body. He gave His blood. Why? Because He loved us. And He loves the church. And we're the church. Amen? So He loves us. Ephesians 4:15, a pastor speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. He's the head of the church. He loved the church and gave Himself for it. And so I'm trying to speak the truth in love and give you the Word of God. I would much rather use a bunch of verses than just give my opinion about things. You've got to understand and hear it from God. And God loves you, no matter who you are, what you are. You said, you've already said that. I may say it about five more times before we're done. You've got to know that, and you've got to experience that. And when you experience it, you get love, joy, peace. You got to have the love. Without charity, you got to have charity. The greatest is charity. Amen. That's love in action. Then comes the peace and the joy and all the other. Long suffering. You ever long suffer with somebody? They're an irritant and you're long suffering. That's part of the Spirit. Amen. So many things that are true. 2 Corinthians 3:13-10. Therefore, I write these things, being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification, and not to destruction. Paul is saying, I've got to use sharpness. The word is sharper than any two-edged sword. So we use the word, we use the sword of the Spirit, not to destroy anybody's life, but to edify them. Amen? If you go to the doctor and you've got cancer on your arm, he says, well, we're going to have to cut that off. We have to get rid of that. No, I don't want to do that. You know, well, you would if that would save your life and you cut out the bad. And God is just trying to help us cut out the bad and be a good testimony to other people so they could see our lives. Matthew 26, Mark 14, Luke 22, and 1 Corinthians 11. I'll talk about the Lord's Supper. Turn to 1 Corinthians 11. We read this a lot when we have the Lord's Supper. But to get a grasp, to get this really deep down in our soul, it's such an amazing truth. Verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, the same night in which he was betrayed. Boy, that's amazing. And he died for Judas. He loved Judas. He died for those that beat him, that mocked him, that did all of those things. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He loved them to the end. This do in remembrance of me. I'm sorry, verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it. This in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. But why did he come? He came to die for your sins. If you were the only person, he came to die for your sins. And he paid that penalty if you were the only one. 1 Corinthians 11:18, this is preceding this that we just read. It says, for first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. How do you take the Lord's Supper? It's a love feast. I love God. God loves me. He's taught us to love one another if there's strife between brethren. Amen? We need to, whatever it is, I don't know of any, but if there's anything going on in your heart, we're going to have the Lord's Supper pretty soon. For anybody, amen, but certainly for people in the church. You're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah, well, you don't know what my neighbor does. You know, it plays music loud and does this and does that. And I went over and I cut the power to his house. And that's not how to do it, amen? You can be irritated and still love somebody. You can. But just speak the truth in love. Because there's a tendency, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If you got a bitter heart, something's going to come out. Something's going to come out. And then you're going to manifest what's in your heart. But if you get the heart right, everything is going to work out. Luke chapter 6, verse 32. These are so good. If you love them which love you, what thank have ye? Do not even the sinners and publicans do the same? They love them that love me. The key is to love somebody that doesn't love you. Amen? And to be kind to somebody that doesn't love you. A new commandment, John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye love also love one another. That's a new commandment. As God loved us, we are to love one another. Boy, that's a big order. Amen. That's hard to do. What is that in Ephesians chapter 4? Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Well, my wife and I, we argue all the time. Well, wait a minute. You know, you can have disagreements. You know? Well, we're friends, and we argue. I just don't like them. Maybe God loves them. Well, no, not maybe. He does love them, because we just read it. Amen? So, we love one another with a pure heart fervently. I think that's a good verse too. Here's the message. He died, Jesus died to show us the love of God. He died to show us the love of God. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. It's the greatest love. And he not only laid down his life for his friends, but for his enemies. He died for the world. God so loved the world that he gave. All of these verses, amen? He died to show us the love of God. When we experience this love, we begin to love him with a spiritual love. That's where we begin to love him. And when we love him, we will love each other. That's how it works. He died to show us his love. Amen. And when we see that love and accept it, then it changes us and we begin to love others. If any man hate his brother, the love of God dwelleth not in him. I've got that a couple words wrong there, but the truth is there. Love God with all your heart. Look back at John 3:16. Now we'll begin the message. Just testing the Spirit. Amen. John 3:16. Look at it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You believe that? I believe it. It's God's word. It's true. I'm really glad he died for me. Turn to 1 John. 1 John. Interesting. 1 John 3:16. I'll wait till you get there. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We just read that. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You believe that? And that's the love of God at work. That's the love of God at work. People don't need beat up. They need loved. They just need loved. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Boy, that's a big gulf there. Amen? Love your wives and be not bitter against them? Where's the emotion there? Now, you can argue that. You can debate that all you want, but there's a wide gap there. Wives, love your husbands. Amen? And God loved the church. You're to love your wife. You're to love your husband. All of those different things. That's what God tells us to do. Amen? And when we do it, we honor him. When we do it, we honor him. There's no way to make somebody love somebody else. It's a personal thing. You can say, I love God, I love them, I love chocolate. You can do whatever you want to do. But saying it is not the same as experiencing it. God wants us to experience his love. That's what it's all about. Amen? That we might know that we have eternal life. That we might know the love that God loves us. That we might know the peace that's there, the wisdom that's there, if we just want it. I trust God has spoken to you today. Just something deep in your heart. Because if you love him, you'll keep his commandments. And by keeping his commandments, you'll show other people the love of God. Let's bow our heads, please. Our Father, thank you for your word today. Help us, help me to really comprehend to really be persuaded to acknowledge your love for me, Lord. My, 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 how you love me, how you love everyone here. May that spirit affect us. And Lord, I pray that you said, love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your might. And then the second commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. May that be accomplished today. May we love you and may we love each other. Bless us now, Lord. I pray that you'll help us during this invitation time to really search our heart. In Jesus' precious name, amen.